you guys have already been part of the best part of the service today. That's just a reality. Let me give you two invitations, though. One invitation is to say yes to the mission that God has for you. I want to give you that invitation. And the other is to just be here while you're here. I mean, we're not going to stop you from exiting the door, but you are here for the next moment. So check in and just say, you know, God, you know, what is it that you have for me in this time? Speak to me. Use me. You are present to me, God, so I will be present to you in the next moments we have together. I want to start out by reading Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. And it's going to be on the screens, or if you need a Bible, if you prefer that paper fill in your hand, just raise your hand and somebody will get one to you. All right, you guys have adapted to the screen. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in all the families of the earth, you shall be blessed." And so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. So last week, we looked at God's mission, his vision for creation, and we discovered that his vision is to be in a relationship with us. That's God's design in creation, is that he wants to have a relationship with you and I. We looked at our purpose. Our purpose is to know God and then reflect him to others. We're supposed to be like an angled mirror. Where God's present to us and we reflect that out to others. But then also when we're with people, we're reflecting them back to God. That's why we pray for other people. That mirror goes both ways. And so we talk to God and we lift up our needs. We also have a mission. God sent Adam and Eve out to fill the earth by multiplying worshipers of God until the whole earth is filled with his presence. That's our purpose. If that's too long for you, just write in your notes, "Go make disciples." We could just kind of narrow that down, that's God's mission. But that's what he wants to do through Hope Community Church. That's what he wants to do through us as individuals. Now, Adam and Eve, they had a choice in the garden, and they chose a different vision. They made, as we were talking about last week, they made a bad trade. God says, "I've got a really good deal for you." And they said, "Oh, we'll take what's behind door number two." And behind door number two was sin. And sinful nature was imparted to them, and it entered the human race. And yet, what I find odd in all about that is God still passionately pursues us. Amen. I mean, how many times do we passionately pursue people that do us wrong? But God passionately pursues us. And when we get to Genesis chapter 12, if you read Genesis about 3 on to 11, everything's pretty ugly in there. It's kind of messed up. And then in Genesis 12, we discover that God decides that he's gonna build a nation. And this nation is going to go out and fulfill this purpose, this mission that he has. Now, if you read through the biblical record, and this is Genesis all the way to Revelation, you're going to realize God works through some really messed up people. I mean, I remember as a kid, like, I would, you know, I had, like, these picture books, and I would see these guys, and, like, Samson and whatever, and then as an adult, I'd read that, and I'm like, what's that dude doing in the Bible? I mean, do you ever think that, like, Like, that dude doesn't deserve to be in there. You know, forgive me, God. But, yeah, I mean, there's some really messed up people. And just think of, like the generations of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're going to find some fallible people. You're going to find some people that were incredibly self-indulgent. There's some great deception that goes on there. It's like they're playing Survivor or something. There's favoritism. There's some pretty bad sibling rivalry. I mean, my siblings and I, we've had some issues, but I've never sold any of them into slavery. And you go back into the story, and that happens. But in that process, we see some repentance. We see some restoration. We see some incredible faith. Where you look and you go, that guy has some serious faith. And we also see a God that calls things into being that are not. And God chooses to work through people. And you know why God's plans work out? It's not necessarily because of the people. A lot of times God does things in spite of our response. But he does want us to make a choice. I need to make a choice each day. I need to resolve in my heart. Am I going to pursue God's mission? Am I going to pursue his vision, his purpose for my life? Because keep in mind, Judas and guys like the Apostle John, they fulfilled their purposes and their mission. Which one do you want to be? You want to be Judas? Or you want to be John? In fact, you get to decide what narrative you're going to follow. How many of you notice there's a lot of narratives going on out there? God has a narrative. The Bible is mostly narrative. It's a story of God's redemptive work in the world. But there's competing stories. Tell me if you've heard some of these stories. Look out for yourself. That's a story. Here's one. You've probably seen it on a bumper sticker. He who dies with the most toys
still dies,
yes. Yes. But that is a story. Here's another story. Well, God just wants you to be happy. Well, you know, some of the best lies have a little bit of truth into them. And that is one, but here's what we do. We define happiness on our own terms. And that's a story. And we've been invited to live a part of the greatest story. And here's the unfortunate thing. I think many Christians, and I repeat that, many Christians are living a different story than the biblical narrative. We kind of cut and paste. We take parts that we like. This one's not so good. It's like the Bible's like a smorgasbord. You can pick and choose. The things you don't like, they don't go on your plate. And God wants us to enter his story. God wants us to live that out. And it's not a matter of a question. Does God have a plan for my life? God does have a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. The question I need to respond to is, am I going to walk that out? Am I going to live according to the purposes and to the story that he has, or am I going to follow a different narrative? And a lot of times, we forget what narrative we're a part of. And we follow the narrative of the world. Let me start out with this. Walking in God's mission and purpose for your lives begins by saying yes to him. It begins very, very simply of saying, okay, God, I'm yours, and I will follow you. And in Genesis 12, we see people doing that. And God's going to build a nation. Now, if you were going to build a nation from scratch, other than land, what do you think is a key commodity that you would need to build a nation? People. A lot of them, right? You'd need a bunch of people if you're going... You not only do you need a bunch of people, you need a bunch of people that would say yes to your plan Not just people. And I suppose that if I were God, and there's so many times where it's really good for everybody that I'm not. But if I were God, I would find a good young couple, good-looking young couple, maybe 20-something, God-fearing people to start my plan. That's what I would do. That's just me. I'm not God. And God doesn't do any of those things. Still, God goes out to the land of Ur, which is always funny, but he goes out to this place called the land of Ur, and he finds an elderly couple whose parents and grandparents were pagan worshipers. They worship pagan gods. And there's times where I'm like, God, is this really a good plan? Do you really want to do this? You know what? God can use anyone. Amen. If you're anyone or someone, raise your hand. All right. God can use you. I got a picture here of some individuals that God has used. All right? Now, everybody in that picture has good reason why God could not use them. Abraham, Sarah. No offense to anybody in here, but they're old. Especially if you're going to build a nation from these two people, they're too old. Moses, he has a speech impediment. He doesn't speak well. And God's going to use him. Rahab. She's got a kind of a shady past. Balaam's donkey. I'm not going to say what he is. but he's got issues that are obvious. Now here's what I want you to do. Don't do this for the person next to you. Find one of those four that you most identify with. Say, who am I most like? Number four? Okay. Yeah, we're just going to leave that all right there. But here's the thing. God can use you. I mean, if God can speak through a donkey, he can certainly use us. And think about this. I mean, God's going to start a nation, and for all intents and purposes, he goes to a nursing home, and he says, I'm going to build a nation through these two people. Now let's think this through. You know, as we look through the room, most of us are younger than Abraham and Sarah. Now if God can build a nation out of a nursing home, do you think God can do something through this group? I think he can. And you know what really amazes me? And that whole idea of, do we believe God can do something through us? As I look at Abraham's story and I reread it and I look at that, Abraham continued to believe God when there are times where I would say, I think I just ate something last night. It didn't settle well and I've got indigestion and now I'm hearing things. I mean, things were looking bleak. I mean, imagine this. 75 years old, Abraham leaves everything he knows. And he sets out to follow God to an unknown destination. God didn't even say, hey, go to this place. He says, get up and go, and I'll fill you in on the details as we travel. That's called faith. I mean, that's serious faith. Hebrews says this. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, and by going out to a place, sorry about that, I could feel it hanging. So he goes out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, let me repeat Genesis here. Now the Lord said to Abram, ask me later if you're trying to figure out the name change there, but the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your kindred, and from your father's house to the land I will show you. Now, last week I talked about that God's a sending God. God sends us out into the community. God sends us out into the world to share a message that he has. And let me tell you something from my own personal experience. It's not usually the going part that's hard for people. It's the leaving part. Leaving is the hard part. Think this through. Abraham was asked to go from his country. He is to leave his kindred. He is to leave his father's house. In other words, Abraham, everything that's familiar to you, I want you to leave that behind. And I want you to head out. I'll put this in personal terms. Ask my kids, ask my wife, was it hard to get up and go to Florida? Most of them say, no, it's not hard at all. Now ask them this. Was it hard to leave behind friends? Was it hard to leave behind loved ones? Was it hard to leave behind what is familiar to you? Yeah, leaving is much harder than going. Let me put this in a church context. A couple years into my first ministry, where they don't teach you this stuff in seminary, but anyways, I'm at my first pastorate position, and I noticed that every year we would have an annual planning meeting. But I also noticed we already knew what we were going to do in the next year. We knew what activities we were going to do. We knew what events we were going to do. We knew what programs we were going to offer. Here's what we needed. We needed a calendar to figure out those dates, and then we needed to pray and say, God, here's where you can work. Here's what we're going to do. You're invited to that. And you can work in these times, in these places, through these events. Well, I was kind of bold one year, and I sat down with the planning committee, and I said, you know, something's been bothering me, and I just wanted to think this through. Can we spend some time in prayer and dialogue and ask God, and say, God, what is it that you're doing in our community? What are the needs in our community? How can we best reach out to people we want to reach? And I said, because I'm not real satisfied with us just doing the same things just because that's all we've ever done. I want us to look back and say, okay, does this make sense? Are we connecting to people? Are people growing in their relationship with God? Are we reaching the lost? If not, what is it that we need to change? And I was completely relieved that the chairperson said, I agree with you. Like, wow, this is great. Then the chairperson opened us up in prayer and said, take out your calendars, and we began to pencil in the same activities that we've always done. See, here's the thing. We get excited. Yeah, we want to do this. We want to go there. Leaving is the hard part. And there's times in my life, and there's times in ministry where I got to say, where we're going, this can't come with me. There may be a habit in your life. There may be a pattern in your life where you say, this needs to go. And sometimes it's good things. Sometimes you're saying, yeah, this is a good thing, but we can't take that with us. Because God is taking us in a direction. And sometimes we need to leave. And maybe that's a good question. God, what is it you're calling me to leave behind today as we move forward in mission? And the reality is, we don't know exactly where God's going to take us. I mean, I don't have that all figured out. If you've got it all figured out and God's talked to you, please talk to me after the service, because I wouldn't mind knowing a few more of the details here. But here's the thing. We believe God to be faithful. And here's a question in that. Why do you think God chose an elderly couple? Yes. Because if he took this young couple and they had all these bright ideas and whatever, everything, they would go, man, Abraham and Sarah, they did it. You take, I mean, when Isaac was born, you know, Sarah laughed. I've talked to some women, and they say, I would have cried. You know, I think God does it because God wants to display his glory. God wants to take some of the least likely people, and maybe you're one of those least likely people. I mean, I've gone to high school reunions, and people say, so what do you do for a living? I say, I'm a pastor. And they're like, no, seriously, what do you do for a living? I'm like, no, seriously, I'm a pastor. That's what I do. And God takes unlikely people, and he works through them. I'm going to quickly give you his fourfold plan for this new nation. Number one, God will make them a new nation, and he'll make them great. He's going to make this new nation great. Don't throw in a slogan in there, okay? Secondly, God was going to make Abraham's name great. Third thing he was going to do, he was going to bless those who bless Abraham and curse those who curse Abraham. So it was a good thing to align with what God was doing through Abraham. Fourth thing, and this is important, this really ties into us today. God will bless all other nations of the world through Abraham and the new nation. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. You and I, guess what? You're blessed to be a blessing. It's not just all for us. And there's some really cool promises in here. I imagine, how many of you would be kind of fired up if God himself spoke to you? I mean, you literally heard his voice and he said, go. I'm guessing day one, you're like, yeah, we got this. I mean, I spoke to God. And God sent me out. I am fired up. Now, as a few years pass, you know, I've gone from 75, 85, 90. This isn't happening. I don't really blame Abraham when he began to struggle. I don't blame, you know, some of the doubts. But, you know, there's a reminder in there. And we need to remember this. When we look at God's promises, you know, where he says, I'm going to be with you always. You know, I'm going to bring this plan through. We need never doubt when you're walking through that dark night. Never doubt what God told you in the light. Okay? Never doubt that. And ultimately, that's what Abraham began to do. But they struggle. They begin to struggle. They're like, okay. I mean, if you have a basic understanding of numbers and biology, you know, you got to be looking, going, I don't see how this is going to work. And here's what we normally do. Not to this extent, but Sarah comes up with a great idea. Sarah's old, and she says, hey, Abram, I got a great idea. If we're going to produce this nation, why don't you sleep with my maiden Hagar? And then, you know, then God somehow, you know, we're going to help you out, God. Because apparently God's not good at biology and numbers and what have you. And we're going to help you out. And Abram, I don't know what his deal is. I don't know if he's a guy or whatever it is. Like, okay, so I could sleep with this woman. There's no consequences. That's what you're saying to me. Okay, I think this is a great idea. I mean, I'm not totally sure what he's thinking, but the result is Ishmael is born. And we can do a brief history of saying, how did that work out? You know, what are the consequences of that? What are the descendants of Isaac and Ishmael doing this morning, to this day? Didn't work out really well, and God does bless Ishmael. He doesn't begin a new nation in which he's going to bless all the nations of the world, but he does bless them. But then he reaffirms. God reaffirms his promise. He's like, no, that's not my plan. Come back. Remember, I asked you to leave things behind, your way of doing things. Follow my way. So he reaffirms his promise. Romans tells it this way. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become a father of many nations. As he was told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Sorry, been out of track meet all weekend and yelling at kids and officials, stuff like that. So, could you imagine you're 75 years old and 25 years later you wait for this promise and God delivers. And Isaac is born. Now, and God's kind of funny because he seems to throw a wrench in his own plan. How many of you know this story where he tests Abraham and I read it and I'm like, that's really weird, God. But he comes to Abraham and he says, I want you to take Isaac. I want you to take your one son, your only son, and I want you to sacrifice him. Now, before you read into it, he doesn't sacrifice him, okay? Spoiler alert. Please come to me if you think God is asking you to sacrifice somebody, and I'll just tell you right now, he's not, all right? But he tells him to sacrifice him at this place called Moriah, and he's obedient. Abraham's obedient. The Bible even tells us that he believes that, you know, whatever happens, God can raise him back to life. And his son's not stupid. Isaac's not stupid as he's carrying. He's like, Dad, I don't see what you're going to be sacrificing here. Where is the sacrifice? Genesis 22:8, Abraham says, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And sure enough, God provides the ram. And Isaac is spared. A beloved son is spared. And the nation goes forward. And Genesis 22:14 says, Abram called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. You know what I find fascinating about that little passage? I mean, it's one that you can just kind of read over a little bit. But as I look through, it says, the Lord will provide. I would expect it to say, the Lord provided. But it says, the Lord will provide. In other words, something's going to happen later. Well, we can come up a few centuries later in this same area where Moriah is, and there's going to be another beloved son. But this time, the beloved son is not spared. And the beloved son is the one and only Son of God. And you may know the name of the place where God provided this lamb by its New Testament name, Golgotha, or Calvary. So in this same area where Abraham said God will provide, he provided a son. He provided a son so our sins could be forgiven, so you and I can be set free. And that son not only died, but he was resurrected. And so we know we have hope. And here's the thing. God, at great cost, he provided the lamb because he wants a relationship with you and I. He wants us to be in relationship. Worship team, can you come on back? So in choosing Abraham and Sarah, God reveals this pattern. And let's see if you qualify. Here's the pattern. God chooses unlikely people. He doesn't always choose the smartest. Sometimes he does. I think the Apostle Paul was probably brilliant. Some of those other guys that hung out with Jesus fishing, they were not the sharpest knives in the drawer. But he doesn't always choose the smartest. He doesn't always choose the youngest or the most handsome or the best looking or the best pedigree or the best resume. God chooses ordinary people like you and I. In fact, most of the time, if not all of the time, when mission goes out, it's because of ordinary people. I mean, we can look at heroes and we can say, well, Billy Graham, you know, this and this and this and that. You know how people got to those Billy Graham crusades? Ordinary people invited them. And they went back. And they got into groups and they got in churches that were filled with ordinary people that worshiped and followed an extraordinary God. There's not a person in here that is disqualified to be used by God. You have been sent out on a mission to reflect God and his plan to win people back. And here's the thing, and then I'll have Zeph come up and get us ready for communion. You have a choice today. And the choice is, will I say yes? Will I say yes to the mission that God has for me?